one of Alice's favorite psalms and perhaps even favorite passages in all of Scripture comes from Psalm 23. So I invite you to listen again to a very well-known psalm, Psalm 23. You can read along if you like. It's actually printed right on your bulletin, or you can listen. But beloved, listen to God's word and hear the words of the psalmist of David in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, it would certainly be nice if our lives moved in straight lines from one green pasture into another green pasture. But they don't, do they? Because life is more complicated than that. And more to the point, we and all of us together are frequently far more complicated than that. And as a result, most of our lives move as a series of ups and downs, series of high points and low points, of mountains and valleys, with some middling times mixed in between. Alice Poole knew both mountains as well as valleys in her own life. Born the 10th of 11 children, Alice's childhood, even despite the struggles of wartime, World War II, played out for the most part like a mountaintop experience, from what I understand. Embraced in loving community by two loving parents, Alice especially adored her father and was equally adored by him. He, along with mom, were a strong, godly, nurturing couple. And given this tender cocoon, Alice felt free to spread her wings, explore and discover her loves. Helping out at her parents' clothing store forever marked in her a sense of style and a capacity for panache. A flair. She liked, look at some of the pictures, right? She liked to dress nice all 89 years, and she did. She excelled as a child in gymnastics. She loved to swim. She developed a keen interest and a skill in all things to do with keeping a home and what used to be called home economics, cooking, sewing, embroidery, gardening, beautifying, and the like. Budding skills that would blossom and bloom so beautifully later. No wonder Mella fell in love with her and found her as irresistible as he did. High times in Canada were marked above all by good times with family. With you, her seven children, and her husband, and then what would become a very large brood with grandchildren and great-grandchildren after that. Making meals for all of you, and our delicacies like olie bullen, homemade bread, meatball soup, stump pot, and especially, as I learned, her enchanted and to me very mysterious treat called Tutti Frutti. Not a bad deal. High times indeed. And then there were also times of traveling the world and riding an ostrich. Imagine that. And perhaps because the ostrich didn't fly, determining to go parasailing one time. Talk about high times again. And then there was, of course, the successful farm. Amazing. And then traveling more of the globe with Mella. Many mountaintops indeed. There were good times. But Alice knew valleys as well. She knew valleys. And perhaps there were even more valleys than there were mountains. Because as you, the family, told me, all of you, and as Mella told me several times, Alice's life was hard, and at times, it was really very hard. Leaving Holland, was hard. Leaving her family behind in Holland was hard. And then Peace River was hard. Life on the farm could be hard. Life on the farm with seven children could be hard. Life on the farm with seven children who could at times act less than angelically could also be hard. Life sometimes in marriage, as in all of our marriages, could be, as Mella has told me, hard. Alice may have had mountaintop experiences, but she had valleys too, and she had lots of those. And in fact, sometimes it seemed that the darkness in these valleys would get too thick and threaten to overwhelm her and eat her whole. Those two trips to Pine Rest and Grand Rapids, at least once for a very long stretch of time, 6 months to a year, must have been beyond hard, right? Not only for Alice, but for you, her children, her husband. These were hard times, agonizing hard. So much loss to process, so much heartache, and at times, so much static in Alice's own soul. And yet, you know what the marvel is? The marvel is that Alice never got bitter. And she didn't get resentful. And she didn't live in hostility. And she didn't live in anger. And she didn't stop being kind. And she didn't stop being thoughtful. And she didn't stop giving hugs. And she didn't stop hoping for you and praying for you and welcoming you in. And she didn't stop loving you even when she didn't agree with what you were doing. And she didn't stop cooking. And she didn't stop making tutti frutti. And she didn't stop writing cards. And she didn't stop keeping your cards. And she didn't stop putting your pictures on her fridge. And she didn't ever stop remembering your birthday. She always remembered your birthday because she wanted you to know that you, in all of your singularity, are special, that you are cared for, that you are loved. She wasn't perfect, to be sure. But you know, there's something of a marvel here, isn't there? Because our tendency when things get hard is to get hard right along with the hard things, instead of letting our trials and tribulations soften us and make us more pliable and more gracious and more truthful. The natural human tendency is to become like petrified stones in an effort to shield ourselves from the kind of vulnerability that can lead us into more pain. I don't want any more of that. And should we shut it out? Instead of becoming soft, we become prickly and grumpy and bitter. But the wonder is that Alice Poole didn't do that, or at least not finally. And in fact, as many of her children testified to me with a certain unmistakable wonder of your own, she was stunningly resilient, actually. Stunningly resilient in not becoming hard. And over the last 3 years, it's like Alice escalated upwards. She got even better. She came into her own. She spread out those wings even further than before. And I saw bits of this. I mean, there's one thing I know. Whatever Mella and Alice were like before, when I came to the seniors' home, they were like two lovebirds together, and I believe they got this reputation among the staff. Because there you would come and you would see them holding hands, sitting side by side, or chatting with one another, or with Ella saying, "Now, now, Mella," as she would so tenderly while patting his hand. And it was a joy to be with the two of them, I can tell you. And she did this all despite the many valleys. The question is, I suppose, how does that happen, you know? How did Alice Poole stay soft instead of letting the final word about her be hard? You might say it was natural inner disposition. You might say it was just simply a product of good genetics. You might say a lot of things, but Alice Poole herself said this. Psalm 23, I have a shepherd. I have a good, good shepherd who promises and provides goodness in the present, even in our valleys, yes, and sometimes maybe especially there. If we have eyes to recognize it for what it is, maybe the valley is making us more human. And who promises us and provides goodness, especially in the future too. all the things, yes, hear it, all the things the heart of us humans truly and finally long for. Quiet waters, see the imagery of this psalm. No wonder it's a favorite. Quiet waters, green pastures, tables in the presence of enemies, the dignity of being anointed with oil, which is to say, peace, security, identity, provision, and above all, the restoration of broken relationships with each other and with God, and the restoration of those relationships that goes beyond the problem of death. To sit down and eat together at a feast of love, to be able to look forward to a reunion of a love that we know cannot be gone, our hearts testify. Is it over? Really? Maybe the longing in the depths of our hearts is true. Maybe it's the truest thing there is. Family and friends, Alice knew herself to be the recipient of amazing goodness that could never be earned, so that every single thing in her life was gift, never to be taken for granted. She knew herself to be the recipient of amazing love, so she knew that no matter how unworthy she may have felt or how bad things got, there was a love that is truly indistinguishable. It endures, it is long-suffering, and it hopes. And it was because of the experience of this transcendent heavenly goodness and love that Alice was who she was. I suppose the question for all of us this morning in view of Alice's life is, who or what is our shepherd today? And is he or she or it good? Really good. Stupendously good. Which is to say, who or what have we put our trust in to guide us through the storms and valleys of our own life? Or maybe to keep us from getting proud from mountaintops? Because if storms are not already here, we can be absolutely sure that storms are coming. Let us not be deceived. We know for sure today that one valley is coming that none of us will escape, and that is the valley of death itself, beyond that shadow. And what shepherd is good enough and strong enough and yea, soft enough of heart to guide us through that dark valley? Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the one who comes to me will live. In a short while now, Alice's good shepherd will say, Alice, my daughter, my beloved, wake up, sweetheart. It's time to get up. It's resurrection time. It's new creation time. It's the day when all things are well and all manner of things are well too. When the old order of things and all the pain in the morning and the crying and the shame are gone. And then Alice will rise and she will enter in. And all because of one thing. It's because of the goodness and the love of an unimaginably immoderately good God. So good to people as broken as you, and as God knows, me too. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us pray.